Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
All right, so we're sticking with our election results coverage, and my panel here in studio, I have political scientist Dr. Teresa Reedy, Ireland editor with the Irish Independent, Fionnán Sheehan, Gary Murphy, professor of politics at DCU, and Graham Finlay, who's lecturer in the School of Politics and International Relations at UCD. I think we'll start with Dublin, because as Kay said, we have some information on Dublin, don't we? We have a first count there, and we can see what might be happening. So we know that Barry Andrews is out ahead. Regina Doherty is doing well. It is really difficult to call. Maybe Gary, you might look at this first for us, because of this odd transfer business that is going on. I mean, there was a time where you could nearly predict where the votes would be going from the candidates who were about to be eliminated. Not so now.
Yes, I think what we can safely say is that Barry Andrews and Regina Doherty will be elected. They both performed really well. And I remember you asked me in this very studio, Claire, a few weeks ago, was there a seat for both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael? And I kind of hummed and hawed, but I think eventually I came down and said there probably was. But I am surprised, I think like everybody else is, at the collapse in the Sinn Féin vote, which now means Lynn Boylan is struggling, but in a decent position now. She's a good bit off the quota. In fact, she's over 35,000 votes off getting elected. But she's in third place. But transfers, as you said, the volatility in transfers is equally as bad as the volatility across the political system, of which this election, I think, is the latest manifestation of a trend dating back to 2011 and to the changed Irish politics of the post-economic crash. Then, as Kay said, there are a bunch of candidates, three candidates, who are also worth talking about in terms of election. That is Ciarán Cuff. Now, we also had probably written off the Greens, and I certainly didn't give him much of a chance here. But he has come fourth in the first preference. He's just about 1,500 votes ahead of Éan Éireann. So, I mean, this is a really good result for the Greens if he could manage to stay ahead. And there's a lot of talk about transfers on PRSTV, and of course they are crucial, but you got to get a decent first preference vote to be in the hunt, and it's always better to be ahead, and especially in an election where we expect the transfers to sort of go all over the place. If you're 1,500 votes ahead at the beginning, that's a good start. But again, a very good result for the Labour Party, even if Éan Éireann doesn't get elected, because they were polling at, what was it, 3-4% in the national poll.
You see, in normal circumstances, you'd be looking at Sinead Gibney's vote there, running for the Sock Dems, over 16,000, and you'd be saying, well, they're going to go to Éan, but we can't say that now,
can we?
No,
not at all, because they could go to Ciarán Cuff, but also it depends.
Go anywhere, given what we've seen.
They could go, if the twos go to Barry Andrews or Regina Doherty, then you're going down the ballot further again. So I think there is a battle for a soft left seat. Now, Niall Boylan, he polled just over 30,000. He came in, was it sixth in the first preference?
There's a few of them here at around the 30,000 mark.
Yeah, there's three of them. Yeah, he's a bit below Éan Éireann, and probably too far off. And he shouldn't be as transfer friendly. Now, there is a bit of a, there's a bunch of what we might call right-wing candidates, all of who have a few thousand votes to play with, when they'll be eliminated. But again, I would expect their transfers to sort of go all over the place.
Now, Fionnán, can we talk about Claire Daly for a minute? Her first count vote was 26,855. Where does that place her in your view?
She's seventh. She's good bit of ground to make up. And would be hopeful of getting a bunch of transfers maybe from candidates like Breed Smith below her. It just seems to be too big a gap to bridge.
You think?
So it seems where the game is at now is what we were seeing across the weekend in Dublin. The Green Party 5 years ago were winning seats all over the place because they were either top in the poll or they were winning. They're very transfer friendly, and this time that hasn't happened. They've got a bit of a kicking from being in government. So the likes of either a hard left or a soft left transfers weren't coming to them as handily, and it was happening for the Labour Party. So we can only judge off what was happening in other council areas, and that would imply that Éan Arirdon may be more transfer friendly than Kieran Cuff. There's only a gap there of 1,500. I thought they were a bit premature in writing off Kieran Cuff's chances by Saturday morning. Eamon Ryan was killing him off. He was very much in there when you're finishing in the top four. Teresa will tell you now that something like X amount of candidates who finish in the placings ultimately hold their position. But if there is to be a result there, that'll be Éan taking out Kieran. Lynn Boylan, you have to add in that Dahi Doolan's got 11,000 votes, and you'd expect 50-60% of them will come her way. So that should buttress her there and put her far enough ahead of the field.
Teresa, when we talk about the volatility in transfers, I mean, you can say that almost with certainty, that the Sinn Féin vote, Dahi Doolan's vote in the main, will go to Lynn Boylan.
To a good extent, yeah. I mean, there have been loads of curiosities pointed out over the weekend, you know, kind of somewhat what looked like ideologically irrational voting behaviour. But it's often the case that at local and European Parliament elections, all kinds of things like friends and neighbours affect if the candidate lives on your street, or, you know, geography come into play more than they would if we were picking a government today. Mm-hmm. So it is possible to explain what we see happening. But at the same time, if you look at the patterns of the local elections, actually there has been a good deal of coherence, and a good party transfer is around 50 to 60%. And across the board, Sinn Féin have been getting that. I was looking at Micheál McDonagh's votes at one stage in the local elections, and they are transferring. At that stage they were transferring. So you'd expect the same to happen. Within parties. Now, the transfer across parties is always a good deal lower. It's much more diverse and much more unpredictable, which is why I think it's very difficult to call it in terms of that cluster of kind of centre left and far left candidates. But there are more votes on the left than there are on the right, and that's a real difficulty for Niall Boylan. There's about 15,000 to 18,000. Right-wing votes, and then maybe you'd have Éan Tú as well, it's another 10,000, but it's just not enough. Even if he got all of those votes, it wouldn't be enough to put him over the line. So it will be difficult. So I think that the contention is in the kind of the centre-left and the far-left, and where they'll eventually end up.
Okay, Graeme Finlay is with us as well. And Graeme, I want to talk to you more about Europe in a little while, but in the context of what we have seen happening in Europe, where does Ireland sit? Because the narrative from this is that the centre held.
I think it's very similar in Europe. The European People's Party is really quite pleased with themselves right now. They're up, and they were expected to be sort of static or maybe lose a few seats. The Socialists and Democrats were expected to lose quite a few seats, and notwithstanding losses in Germany, are steady. At least that's what the predictions are. And the Greens, who really did suffer very badly in Germany, really need these Irish Green seats. And so it's very, very important to them. They'll be watching Kieran Cuff intently, because they're picking up a few seats all over Europe, you know, Romania and the Baltics and in Scandinavia, to compensate for their horrendous losses in Germany and to a lesser degree France. But they would, every seat matters for the Greens at this point.
Okay, well, let's take a look at some of the other constituencies then. We might take a look at South now. Sean Kelly there, as Brian was saying, way ahead, looking as though he might exceed the quota on the first count. And we know as well that Billy Kelleher will be in there. But after that, there seemed to be absolutely no certainty. Would you agree, Fionnán?
I thought that Kathleen Function would scrape across the line ultimately, but yeah, she's in danger of not doing so. And then after that, there was kind of a three-way battle emerging in the southeast between Grace O'Sullivan of the Greens, again another Green seat that's in the mix, mm-hmm. Mick Wallace, and potentially Cynthia Ní Mhiarracú of Fianna Fáil. So how that one plays out is anyone's guess. And again, you're looking at transfer patterns and very rational. But, you know, Kelly Kelleher, Michael McNamara, big success story as well, coming in third there. They're definites. And then Sinn Féin
should
be McNamara
definite now?
It seems to be, yeah. Okay. Yeah, everybody was saying,
but not,
saying so.
But on Fine Gael, not John Mullins, it seems. And while Fine Gael would be delighted with Sean Kelly and getting elected in the first count in the European elections, a tremendous achievement, the better transfer or a better vote strategy might have got them two seats. Now, we know from watching South and Brian Crowley for years, who never wanted to give any other Fianna Fáiler a vote. And I think there's a bit of that in probably in Fine Gael land with Sean Kelly. And perhaps you can't blame candidates for not wanting to hive off probable number ones to a fellow candidate, where I think he'll be a bit too far off.
Gary and the Cork snobs insisted that there had to be a Fine Gael candidate from Cork, and the merchant princes yet again got their way and they made a bags of it. If Paul Keogh had run for Fine Gael in the southeast, they would now have won two seats, because the field is not strong. There are weaknesses there. So Fine Gael have thrown away a seat there through their own hubris, and they should have held on to it, but they were obsessed with having a posh candidate from Cork, and it hasn't worked.
Well, he's hardly posh. He is a great, great example of
he's the merchant prince's selection.
I would agree with that. But I mean, he comes from very humble roots on the north side of the city, a place I'm very familiar with myself. But I would agree, and I think they're going to run him probably in Cork East, and he would be in a prime position to win a Dáil seat. So it won't be money or an election campaign way. In that front, but they seem to have thrown away a seat now. Prior to the election,
but a valuable practice run ahead of a general election.
Prior to the before Teresa comes in, is that we wouldn't have expected Fine Gael to be in with a shout at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to. I am from Limerick, so I'm not getting involved in the Cork Wars.
You're wise.
But I have to say, I mean, we do have to speak a little bit about Deirdre Clune from the last time. Deirdre Clune was an electoral phenomenon. She was like Lazarus. She was one of these people who was the most transfer-friendly candidate on the ballot paper. So the last time around, they took two seats really substantially on the back of her, compatibility and favourability when it came to second transfers. If you looked at their first preference vote the last time around, they really shouldn't have taken that seat. John Mullins actually hasn't done that bad at all. In fact, he had a pretty good campaign. He wasn't elected to anything previously, but it's clear he's well positioned now for the general election. So I suspect in terms of the objectives of Fine Gael, they've probably fulfilled what they intended to get out of this. I think two seats for Fine Gael in Ireland South was quite the stretch, unless they put in somebody who was a really significant candidate. And if they put in another sitting TD, that's another by-election, and that comes with its own complications. Okay. And that terrain in the southeast, by the way, also has two sitting MEPs. That's where Mick Wallace and Grace O'Sullivan are sitting. So it's not like it was completely open terrain for them. Right. For them anyway.
Well, listen, we'll move to Midlands Northwest now and just focus on Fianna Fáil for a minute, because when I was speaking to Micheál Martin here on the programme last night, he was delighted with Barry Cowan, it would appear, going to take a seat there. But there are questions about the Fianna Fáil strategy in running three candidates. Then you had the public spat, and Micheál Martin objected to it being called that. But what else was it with Neil Blaney? So were they right or wrong, Teresa, to run the three?
I mean, I don't think running three was necessarily a good idea. They ran three the last time around and ended up with no seat. They run three this time around and they are going to take a seat. But a lot of that is actually down to the strength of their two front runner candidates, which is Barry Cowan, who's well out in front. And Lisa Chambers seems to have done quite well too. Blaney picked up a good vote in Donegal, but he didn't really gain traction anywhere else. So, no vote is wasted and it'll go into the Fianna Fáil pool. So they're going to look, their overall preferences will be held up a little bit extra. But it was a bit of an unedifying spat, really. I'm not sure these things in the past have tended to kind of garner extra vote. Mairead McGuinness and Maria Walsh were the kind of masters of doing that. I think in this case, it just did look like a little bit of a family disagreement in public, and it kind of faded away. So, I mean, for future reference, I suspect that two candidates, but gender was important, and I think it's very important for the big political parties that there's gender balance, and the regional balance in Midlands Northwest is even more complicated than the South. I mean, you're literally going from the East Coast to the West Coast and all the way to the very top of the country to Malin Head.
Yeah, tricky.
So it is tricky, but I still think perhaps next time around we'll find they'll run two candidates.
Sinn Féin then in Midlands Northwest. I mean, last night here people were writing off their chances, Fiona. Have you heard anything on that in recent hours?
There seems to be a lot of tally information going around that it was a poor performance by both candidates. Even Chris McManus, even in Sligo, where he is based, wasn't polling terribly well. And Michelle Gildren, who had also fallen flat. So that would be a big shock, given that they held a European seat there last time. So you'd kind of be looking at the candidates there and going, bad candidate strategy. And again, an assumption on Sinn Féin's part, oh, the brand will be fine, so therefore we can get anybody elected. And it didn't come off for them at all. So the thesis at the moment seems to be Luke Mink Flanagan, Maria Walsh, Barry Cowan, and then Battle Royale then for the last. Mm-hmm. And in that case, Fine Gael will potentially be in for a second seat with Nina Carberry. And they had one candidate sitting on the East Coast, one candidate sitting on the West Coast. This is the lesson for Ireland South. If you get your geography right, that can go right. Then you move from there, where basically they basically let them operate on a
calamitous side. For Sinn Féin. I mean, it's calamitous to lose a seat in Midlands Northwest. The heartland and the border counties, just disastrous for Sinn Féin to lose a seat there.
All right, listen, we'll take a break with Billy Kelleher waiting to talk to us after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.